You're with SBS Radio.
Kasama natin sa programa, Aliyah Ikaw. We'll be talking about her passion in transformation and empowerment as a life coach. But first, kilalanin muna natin siya. Good morning, Aliyah.
Good morning, Annalyn. Kamusta, everyone?
Yes, Aliyah, you were born and grew up in the Philippines, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, that's right.
Can you tell us what brought you to Australia and when did you move?
Okay, so my father actually moved to Australia from Manila, Philippines in 1984. I believe, or 1986. We then followed as a family at around the year of 1991.
And how old were you then?
I was about 9 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you still remember the Manila that was before when you were there?
Yes. Yeah. Look, the most enjoyable, you know, childhood memories were Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and playing outside, you know, after school. It was just, I felt like Philippines was just, you know, being a child in the Philippines was just so much freedom.
Yeah.
Because you can just really roam, you know, and be with the other kids and play. And, you know, during Christmas, I love the
carols?
Not just the carols, but just the
ambience of the place.
Yes, the ambience and also just the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like there was more of a spirit of, you know, Christmas there. And also the Watusi.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
As a child.
I love playing with them.
All Filipino children has once in their life tried Watusi.
Yes, exactly. So that was my favorite. Yes.
And you moved to Australia when you were 9, studied here, mm-hmm. and now you're with a family?
Yes,
your
that's
own
correct.
Family.
Yes, that's right. I have 4 children.
Yes. You mentioned about Christmas, mm-hmm. but if people see you, you're wearing a hijab.
Mm-hmm. It's a hijab.
Yeah.
Headscarf.
Yeah. And you talk about Christmas. It's seldom that people wearing hijab talks about Christmas. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Well, so when I was about 16 years old, I had a life blackout.
Mm.
So, you know, usually you have a light blackout in the house.
Yes.
Where I had a life blackout. And I just feel like my life at this period of my time when I was about 16 to 19 was just about, you know, questioning who am I? What do I believe? Why do I believe what I've always believed throughout my life? And is it because I was just told to do so? So I had a lot of questions about life, and that triggered for me to question so many things about the way I was living, the way that I was being. And then it led me to, you know, soul searching.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to research what religion is about for me. And so I learned about comparative religions and researched into all of them except Islam.
Yeah.
Because of the negative, you know, portrayal that he has by the media. So, and also my parents were just like, no, don't even look into those Muslims and the religion because it's just bad. And
because it's also, you grew up as a Catholic.
Correct. Yes, I grew up as a Catholic. And also because, you know, my parents not knowing themselves, you know, what the religion was about. It's also the unconscious of what they've, you know, come to learn from, you know.
Like passed on by families.
Exactly. And, you know, the media has a lot to do with it. And so that was something that I was not interested in looking at myself. But however, as I grew older, I started to have Muslim friends.
Yeah.
And when I would look at them, they were just the most hospitable, simple people and so humble and so giving. And just to look at the media and hear about them, it just confused me.
Yeah.
So it really intrigued me and it sparked my interest in to look into what they believed in. And it was just out of curiosity, you know. And so I thought, okay, that was interesting. You know, it just seems like they're very peaceful.
Yeah.
And the way that they live is very simple. And it's, it's more of an instructions and guidance to how to live life. September 11 happened and I was just filled with so much anger and fury.
Yeah.
Like, how could these people, these evil people who follow Islam, supposed to be called Muslims, you know, follow this thing? And so I started to look into the religion more only because, you know, with hatred. With more like, why do you do this?
Yeah.
Why do you do this? And, you know, contrary to what is actually, what, you know, being portrayed by the media, it was actually completely opposite to what I learned. And so as I read more and more, it was just like my heart was drawn to it. But then a part of me was like, no, majority of the people of the world is against this. And so is my parents. So that kind of like held me back. And then it wasn't until I think when I read a pamphlet about Yusuf Islam's journey to Islam.
Yeah.
And by this time, I was actually a very practicing Catholic. And, you know, he was just saying that how he wanted one connection directly to God. And that's how actually I felt. I wanted that. And so that is what really, really had me, you know, because I really wanted that connection directly to God, as opposed to praying to other, you know, saints.
Yeah.
And then, you know, confessing to a priest. To me, it just didn't make sense. So for me, I found that it kind of resonated to my identity.
And like what you think of yourself.
Yes, exactly. So it was more to do with my identity, what resonated within me, all the struggles and the issues that I had. I found the answers in Islam.
Yeah.
And so
we're talking about this not to talk about or to put down any religion or anything.
No, not
never.
At all.
Yeah. Yes.
Just as of my journey.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Because we're talking about this because this has started the career that you are doing right now,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. So what happened was I married my ex-husband at the time, and it was a, if it's okay, if I can be vulnerable,
yes,
at this point,
yeah,
you know, it was a very abusive relationship, domestic, you know, through domestic violence,
yeah.
And eventually he was diagnosed with a mental condition, and when I found that out, it was more like, oh, okay, it makes sense now.
That's, you know, why he's acting like that.
That is why he's acting like that. It's not because he's such a bad person, but because it was something that was, you know, chemically imbalanced within him that he was also not aware of. But at the same time, it was a struggle for him to also make, you know, to manage. And so by that time, I just thought, you know what, I need to look after myself from here on. And, you know, because I had four children as well.
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought, okay, the right decision was for me to remove myself from that. And then I started looking into mental health conditions and reading more into it. And as I did, I was, you know, so immersed in trying to, I was very immersed in, you know, educating myself. So I knew what was going to, you know, the ramifications of me leaving would make sense because that's how he would react.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I did, I just felt like I need to, you know, I also empathized him, but also needed to make sure that I was safe and that I helped
Definitely.
Myself. And as, along the way, I found that I was empowering myself through this experience because not only was I helping myself, but other women were also looking up to me because the amount, the situation was really horrible to come out of. You know, it was. Even after the aftermath, I suffered for 2 years because it was just something that he could not let. It was very traumatic surround, but he could also not let go. So there was also other challenges that I was being put through after that. And not only that, my children as well. And so a lot of women looked up to me because they you know, they would make comments like, I can't believe you just went through that. You know, many women that, you know, that they knew of would have ended up in mental institutions because it was such a, you know, kind of traumatic, very horrific experience.
Or they could have stayed in the relationship and
just
deals with it.
And dealt with it, but also then suffer themselves mentally because
yeah.
and emotionally, psychologically, because of, you know, the experience that would one have to go through.
Yeah.
You know, not just being someone with, you know, being violent, but also, you know, having a mental condition. So, and so I thought, you know what, at one point I thought I wanted to go into psychology, in psychology.
To take up a course in psychology.
Exactly, yes. I thought I wanted to that. But then the more I looked into it, I just, you know, I didn't want to put people in boxes and then have them labeled as such.
Yeah.
And then, you know, be responsible as a woman to say, this is what you have, but what if, you know, there was a sparkling, you know, there was like a question with me, well, what if that is not you entirely? Yes, you may have, you
at
may have
time.
All these sort of conditions, right? But, you know, what if that's not your entire life is going to be about? So a friend of mine who was a life coach said to me, you know, Alia, you would be perfect to be a life coach because of what you do, how you speak and how you motivate and how you empower women and you inspire them. And so when I looked into life coaching, it was another, it was, I guess, the same highlight that I had for me when I found Islam. I found life coaching as my identity and it just made sense.
Yeah.
Because now life coaching is about unraveling, you know, not having actually, not having the clients have these, you know, conditions that they've been labeled as. We're just looking at them from what they're feeling as their challenge, and then we're unraveling all the judgments that they've have been, you know, whatever that's been placed on them or what they also thought to believe of them, and, you know, kind of empower them through, you know, questioning techniques. Do you, you know, and
like bringing out their strength?
Yes, exactly. That's right. You know, and so I just felt like, wow, this is what I want to do. And it's just ever since then. That, so that was in 2013, and ever since then, you know, that has been my journey. So really, you know, I had to go through. So I tell my story not to, you know, not for anybody to look down upon anybody that has mental illness, or you know that. Pity me, look what happened to, you know, yeah. My story. I tell my story to let, you know, women know that you can go through such, you know, journey in life and all these struggles and trauma, and but actually come out of it. There's a reason why you actually are going through it.
Yes.
You know, and it's part of your story and legacy. And
it's part of your story and your journey to where you are right now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, and as a transformational and empowerment life coach, mm-hmm. what do you do to help women?
Okay. So what I do is I help women from where they're at. So they, you know, they each one of us has a story. But the thing is, we tell our story and we magnify that. And yeah. it the more we tell it, the more it becomes more of our reality. So I bring that about to, you know, I bring the awareness to women of the stories that they tell and where they've been, and, you know, ask them, where would you like to be? And then we then chunk it down to, you know, working towards, you know, their desired life and their desired goals.
What they aim to do.
Yeah. What they aim to do in life, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And who are your clients? All women of different backgrounds?
Yes, absolutely. So I feel like I am every woman because I've been through the trauma. I've been through the, you know, I've been through domestic violence. I've been through depression. I've been through post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, I've had gone through all of that. And, you know, and being a woman, there's so many, you know, being a mother as well, that can also trigger a lot of things, you know, challenges for other women that they would bring about in their own experiences. Yeah. So I feel like I'm every woman and I'm every one of my client where I had been and where they are now. And they look up to how I've created my life and how I've turned that around for myself.
Yes. When you were soul searching, Alia, what really triggered you to soul search and along the way find your way to life coaching? Mm-hmm. With those experiences, negative or positive, what have helped you to really continue and be strong?
I think it's most of it is probably that I felt like my life was brought here for a reason. I, you know, like every one of us are. But for me, I felt that very strongly about my life. I felt like my life was a message. And there's so much that I am here to do and leave a legacy, not only for myself, but for my children. And becoming the woman that I am today, there's nothing more fulfilling and nothing more joyful than building yourself as you love to be and respect that and then share that with everybody else.
Yeah. And you have your page, isn't it, that you have followers?
Yeah. So I have Leads to Self-Empowerment, which is on Facebook. I also have a website, which is aliaeco.com. I think I have 6,300 something plus.
Yes. Followers. With more than 6,000 plus followers that you have, I know and I see from your page that you share words of wisdom from time to time.
Yes.
What's the two most important message that you want to share to women of different backgrounds?
Okay. The most important message that I want to bring about to women is that they are their own hero and that they can co-create their life to the way that they desire to live by being empowered through the journey of the struggles that they have. And yeah, so, you know, being their own hero is my main message.
And this is more about empowering each one, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
For you to really continue on empowering women like yourself and whatever religion they have, what do you think is your ultimate goal in terms of empowering these women?
Well, you know what? I feel like my whole life has been for this, you know, not just being, you know, a mother of four, but also just being, you know, my life as a message. And it is only actually just about, you know, not just empowering women, but also allowing men to know the strength of women.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. You've been through domestic violence, soul searching, converting from one religion to another. You're a strong woman.
Mm.
Yeah. I know you're busy. How does your children take this? Like, they see you as a role model?
Yes, absolutely. Well, look, you know, children are children, right? So they're going through their own life experiences as well, their own, you know, their own journey in life. So for me, it's important that in everything that I do is all about how I also want my children to aspire and to live by, and to what kind of women that they also like to look up to. So my parenting skills are quite different to most, you know, families.
Yeah.
For me, it's about teaching my children independently. So what does that mean? For example, all my children, they know how to, you know, they know how to cook.
Yeah.
They know how to clean. They know how to wash their own clothes, dishes, iron. They know, basically know how to do, almost every life skill. So for me, in all the things that I do, I feel as a mom, yes, I am doing a lot and I'm taking my time away from my children, but I feel like that's also parenting my children because of the things that I do, and they get to see and, you know, witness how I'm also living my life.
Yeah.
And also how I'm contributing to the society and to humanity by doing what I'm doing.
And with that, they're being independent, I think that will be their strength as they grow.
Yes, exactly. And for me, I think also because of as I was growing, you know, seeing both my parents working, seeing their own struggles and the challenges that they had as well, I wanted to make sure that my children, just in any case, in any event, what happens to me, that they felt that they were going to be, okay, you know, my mom taught us that whatever happens to us, we do whatever's the next best thing to do. You know, and that they can live not only independently, but dependently with their partners, and not to be just reliant on others.
Yeah.
But be
that they can be their own.
Yes, be their own and be of value to another. Yeah. Yeah.
Having experienced domestic violence, and for people, especially women, going through or still in denial that they are going through domestic violence, what's your word of advice?
Okay, my word of advice is that, you know, if their partners are willing to help themselves, then and they are actually actively being in progress with that, evidently, then do your best to support them and work through it, because it's familyship is very important. However, if there's no sign of that and you're just being abused and it's just getting worse and worse day in, day out, and or there's no progression, then yes, you know, I highly suggest that they leave, because
get out
of the situation, and, you know, make sure that they have a plan before they leave. You know, have someone support them, whether it's through a counselor or through, you know, seeking women's centers, which we do, you know, we're very grateful in this country. We have so much of that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a friend to support them, help them, you know, hide out and get away. Make sure that they also take the most relevant relevant documentations, you know, identifications, passports and things like that with them, like the most important essentials if they're planning to get away. Make sure that they're safe.
Your story is so heavy, but it's enlightening as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned that since you left the Philippines, you've never been back.
No, yeah.
Do you aim to go back?
Absolutely, yes. You know, I'm at a point in my life now where I aim to grow my business, you know, internationally, and also you know, with that, travel all around the world and, you know, send my mission, you know, be on my mission and on my passion and my purpose and live that out every, you know, in every possible country that I can to have that influence. And for me, nothing makes me more happy than, you know, seeing women, you know, glow and feel the sense of, okay, I can do this. Yeah. And I'm going to be okay in life, you know, which they are. It's just that sometimes they don't see that because they're stuck in that mindset and that situation and the environment doesn't help as well. So when I step in and I, you know, and I challenge their beliefs and they get that aha moment, that is so satisfying. And so I feel so much in gratitude when I see that about them.
Where can they get in contact with Aaliyah?
Yes. So they can either get in contact with me through my page. My Facebook page is Leads to Self-Empowerment, or they can go onto my website, which is aaliyaeco.com, and there is a contact section there.
Few important words in terms of empowering women.
Well, you know, my favorite personal quote would be, "The woman I inspire to be is the woman in me." And that's not just my, for me personally, but I feel that in every woman. If they just look deep within, you know, they are unique and they have their own source of strength, their own sense of, you know, their highlight of beauty about them. So I feel like if they just, you know, search within, that woman that they're longing for and they're wanting is within them.
Thank you very much, Aaliyah Iko.
Thank you.
sbs.com.au/Filipino.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.